And so we read page speaking from the first book of Samuel. The first book of Samuel, chapter 2. First Samuel, chapter 2. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, First Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. Now the Lord said, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Trust the Lord will burn that verse in your heart. When you're sleeping in your bed tonight, and you'll see it on the ceiling of the bed. You're working tomorrow, that long burning in your mouth. Them that honor me. This is a promise of the Word of God. And you know, He keepeth His promise forever. The Lord said this to Eli. And you know how Eli did. How his sons were robbing the people with sacrifices. How they were getting rich. Eli failed to restrain his sons. And they were committing sins at the gate of the tabernacle. And Eli closed his eyes. Eli failed to meet the standard of God required. The Lord comes to Eli. He says, them that honor me, I will. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I want to encourage young believers in the meeting tonight to honor the Lord Jesus. Never be afraid to take your stand and confess that you're a Christian. Because if you don't take your stand the first time, it will be far harder the second. Take your stand as a Christian. The young girl in Belfast, as she went to work in one of the great big office blocks in the city. And the first morning she went in, she was sitting at her desk, and her boss was walking past her, and the phone rang. And he said to her, if that's for me, tell them I'm not in. And of course the little girl looked at the phone, and it was for him, and she said, he's not. And she put the phone back. She couldn't do any work. But she was a Christian. And she went to the boss's office, and she locked the door and went in. And she was weak. He said, what's wrong with you, dear? And somebody said something to you. He said, no. He said, do you not think you're going to happy here? He said, no, sir, it's not that. He said, what's the matter with you? Why are you crying? He said, sir, you asked me to do something this morning. And she said, I don't. And she said, my soul is bleeding. He said, what was that? She said, you asked me to tell a lie for you. She said, I cannot tell lies. He said, I'm a Christian. He said, well, dear, I'm not asking you anymore to send her out to her death. And then he closed the door of the office, and he sat down, and they brought his coffee in, and he couldn't drink. And he sat there and thought. He said, imagine a big man like me asking a little girl just started work to tell lies for me. And you know, he was so disturbed, He went up to the big office and he went over to her desk. He said, "Dear, I'll never ask you to tell a lie from me." And he went right by all the girls and he came to the next little girl and he said, "Dear, I'll not ask you." She says, "Mister, I don't mind, for I tell them all the time." He said, "But you're not telling any more for me." And he went right round the whole office. He came back to the little girl and he said to her again, he said, "Dear, I'll never ask you." And then to his office, he didn't really work that day. He was. That evening when we were finished work, we were coming out through the main doors, and who should he bump into but the little girl? And he put his hand on her head. He said, "Well, dear, is all forgiven?" She said, "Yes, sir, all forgiven." He says, "I forgive you for what you've done." He says, "Is there anything at the two point?" Well, that's when he made his escape. He says, "Yes, sir, there's something you can do for me." He said, "There's a man in our hall and he's having gospel meat. And I would like if you would come some night." Well, he said, "Dear, only for you," he said. And he went home, you know, and he put it away in the back of his mind. He said, "Some night next week, some night the week after I'll go." But you know, when he got home and got his tea, he discovered he had nothing to do that night. He said, "Well, I'll just go tonight and get it over." And he went to the Victoria Hall in Belfast, and Mark Kagan was preaching the gospel. And God took that man that night as he listened to Mark Kagan preaching. And he came out, he said, "Well, that's it over," but you know, he was back the next day. And he was back the next day. And he was back for 3 whole weeks. He was there every night. And the last Friday night of the meetings, Mark Hayes said, "There's a man in this hall, and God is calling him." And this great big man, a big rugby player, and he drove racing cars, he stood up, and he said, "Sir, I'm that man." He walked up to the front and confessed, "Jesus Christ is the Savior." And that's many, many years ago that God saved him. And you know, he's lived for nearly half a century to prove the reality. How did God start? It started one day a little girl said it. Honor God. Them that honor me, I will. No matter where you look in the Bible. And it's a real problem for one to select men about whom to speak tonight. That God has honored, because there are so many. You remember when David was bringing the ark back from the Philistines, and how he put it on a new turf. Now, I'm sure you've heard many of the sermon about the new turf, but I'm not going to talk about the new turf tonight. So many new turfs. David should have known better not to put it on a new turf, for God said it was to be carried on the shoulders of the priest. And you remember as the turf came over the rough ground, and Uzziah the soldier was walking beside it, and he thought it was going to topple, and he put his hand to the ark, and as soon as he touched it, God struck it down. The children of God fell on, and David was angry with the Lord. And maybe it was David that was the king. Wasn't the Lord? That soldier wasn't allowed to touch the ark. It was only the priests of Levi that were allowed to touch the ark. And the ark stopped outside the house of a man called Obed-Edom. Now Obed-Edom was a Gentile. And you know what he said to him? He said, "Bring the ark into my house." And they carried the ark from the cover into the house of Obed-Edom, and it stayed there for 3 months. Obed-Edom, a Gentile, he decided he would honor God. And he opened his home. And he was a man filled with hospitality to the Lord. He brought the Lord into his home. David made Obed-Edom at your keeper in the house of the Lord. Imagine a Gentile keeping the door of the house of the Lord. That's what David did for you and God. God gave Obadiah the greatest blessing that any Jew could have. He gave his seven sons. He is he them that honored me, I will. There was another man came to David as David was being hunted on the hillside by Absalom. And David was in rejection. And this man called Ittai, he came from Gath, and he had 100 soldiers, trained men of war. And he sought David in the hill country, and he came to David, and he said to David, come on, come. You know what David said? David said to Ittai, he said, Ittai, I have nothing to give you. Nothing. I have no gold or silver. I have no possessions. Nothing! I'm in rejection! I'm hunted like a parchment on the hill! He says, Absalom loveth gold, and Absalom loves a good soldier, gold of Absalom, and he'll give you a place in the kingdom. You know what I said? Well, I want you to mark it first. He said, David, in death. In death, or in life. He joined David's troop on the hills, and Ittai called David. And David took the throne from Absalom. You know how he rewarded Ittai? A Gentile. He made Ittai a captain over the third of the army of Israel. A Gentile leading. Name that honored me, I will. Now the next part of the verse says, but they left his face. There was another man who came from God, and his name was Goliath. And you remember how he defied the assembly of God for 40 days? And he shouted, send me the man. And David came from the hill country, down to his brothers at the battle, he heard the cry. Do you remember how David sent word to Saul? I look, go and fight of it. And Goliath defied the assembly of God, and he held the progress of God's people. And he despised the law. What happened? David, the picture of the Lord himself, he came and he removed Goliath from off the sea. He laid at the side of the lightning. Throw your chin to God. If you honor God in your life, God will honor you. Keep that mighty man in the Bible, that man called you. And what a man he was. The Lord, you know, the sons of God, they came and presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan appeared with them. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you been? He says, I've been going to and fro in the earth. And the Lord said to Satan, have you seen my servant Job down there? He says, there's none like him in all the earth. Job was a man that feared God, a man that honored the Lord in his life. And the Lord said about Job, there's none like him in all the earth. And you know what Satan? You know this saying, Job had a quarrel in him. It wasn't born in our time. He said, said long ago. He just said to the Lord upon his
Job's only serving you and honoring you because you let him. Withdraw your hand from Job and see whether he honors you. And Satan, he defied God.
God said to Satan, well, put your hand on Job, not touch Job. Job's seven sons and three daughters were feasting, and the wind blew in the corners of the house, and the roof fell upon them, and they all died. And as a beast came and stole his cattle, 7,000 sheep, 7,000 camels, 500 she-ass, stood.
The burned his barley fields and his grain fields, and they destroyed it all.
And it says that all this drove came not from. And Satan came back to the Lord, and the Lord said, have you seen Job? He said, yeah, I can't get out.
Can't get out. He says, you put a hedge about it. You put a hedge about Job, and I can't get out of him.
And he stripped him of everything. And he stripped him of his family. Of course, young Christian, you know what the hedge is, don't you? The hedge is the will of God. It's only when you step outside of the will of God that Satan can get at you. The will of God is the hedge. And it's the will of God for every believer that they be not only to the yoke.
And when you step outside of the ravine, mind of the will of God, that's when Satan will attack you.
And it's the will of God that you do not live your life to the life of the flesh.
When you follow the pursuits of the flesh, then Satan gets at you.
And it's the will of God that you do not follow your life after the fashion of this world, building up the treasures of earth. For it's when you get outside the head of the will of God and get into the fashion of this world that Satan gets at you. And oh, it's the will of God that you live your life as a life of faith. It says without faith,
it is impossible. Drove within sight of the will of God. And Satan said, I can't get out of it. Satan says to the Lord, what will a man have good for his life?
If it comes that Job's at the point of death, he'll refuse it, he'll dishonor you, he'll do anything to get his life.
The Lord said to Satan, well, put your hand on Job and not his life. Satan afflicted Job with oils and caravan. And he was covered from head to foot. And his wife just scraped him with a potsherd.
And he was so ill as he lay on his couch. And his three friends came to see him.
And they sat for 7 days, and they didn't speak that.
So they waited, they may not be more people, and upon a day it came. Sometimes we have 5 minutes to spend, but someday people come in. They do.
And they sat for 7 days, and they never spoke.
That's what it
means. And when they did speak, you don't
say. He said, Job, what have you done? He's looking very bad at you now.
Job was very good. Job, what have you done? And Job's wife comes up and she whispers into his ear. She said, Job, curse God and God.
Job says, Job, you say, yet I must have.
He rang the shirt, you see that painting of the old beggar man, and he's sitting on the steps and rags.
And on his knees there's a harp, and all the strings of the harp are broken but one, and he's plucking this string, and the artist has depicted on his face a note of joy and happiness that he's getting from the last string in the harp.
It seems to me that all the strings of Job's heart are broken.
Even his wife is turned against him. And his friends are even condemning him. And Satan's against
him. You know what? He starts to pluck the last string of Job. denying those that by him are done. You know, the Lord seems to say to him, he says that the Lord blessed Job more than the latter day. And he did. In the last chapter of Job, he had twice as much at the end as he had at the beginning. And the Lord gave him another set of sons that came on. You see, them that honor me, the young man, you know, they're longing for peace in his heart. And there's a policeman in Belfast who was on the common road one night. He'd been attending a church and longing for salvation. The car came down the road and two men shot out of it and shot this policeman and his companion who was with him. And the first thing he remembered was he was being failed into the door of the shop by the soldiers. He lay on the floor of that shop and began to cry, "Oh God, give me another chance. Lord, I'm not great, but you give me another chance." You know, he got better. And he went to the Methodist Church on the Shangle Road. He decided he would talk to the clergyman. You know, he let that opportunity pass. He said, "Well, I'll talk to the clergyman next Sunday." He was getting ready to go out, and there was a little girl with him, and she was coming down the stairs of her home, and she fell down the stairs and broke her arm. And instead of being at church, he was in the hospital. He said, "Woman, I don't want to get this." And that lady went to church, and his wife, she said, "You know, Jim, you never go on Sunday night." He said, "Well, I'm going tonight." He said, "Well, take the wee fellow with you," and took the wee lad with him. And after the service, he said to the clergyman, he said, "Sir, I want to speak to you." And he said, "Well, I'll see you shortly, Jim, went for the best of it." And after the service, he was up and he said, "What do you want to say to me, Jim?" He said, "Sir, you're one of them is what I want, but you've got." Well, he said, "Jim, you'll have to tell me what I've got before I can tell you anything." He said, "I don't know what it is, but you've got it, and I want it." And the clergyman began to talk to him. The wee fellow going around the floor and he says, "Take the wee lad home," he says, and "come back, Jim, and I'll talk." He took the wee fellow home, and his wife said to him, she said, "Where are you going, Jim?" He said, "I'm going back to see the clergyman." He said, "Now listen, I'm going to tell you about you. If you become a Christian," he said, "you're not getting into this." He says, "But I don't want that kind of life either. The love of the lounge bar, the love of the dance hall," he says, "I don't want that Christian life here." He says, "I'll tell you before you go, you're not getting in." But he didn't care, it was that trouble about his soul. And he thought he was talking to the clergyman, and he wasn't even listening to what he was saying, but there was a patch up on the wall, and this is what it said. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him. And he with me." And you look at gloriously saved sitting in that little room. He said, "My problem is this. I haven't got Christ in my life." And he received Christ as a savior in that little room. And you know, he's walking up the side of the road. He says, "I thought it was walking on air." He said, "It was bleak." You know, people say, salvation's not feeling. Well, I know it's not feeling. You know, if you're sick, you feel sick. You know, people say, salvation's not feeling. Well, I know it's not feeling. You know, if you're sick, you feel sick. And if you're sad, you feel sad. And if you're happy, you feel happy. And if you're tired, you feel tired. And I want to tell you that you're seeing that feeling. You'll know you've got it. The night that I got saved, and you that I was saved. Remember a girl coming in the house, and she said, the next day, she said, "Who you got saved that day?" "Oh, these girls, I love this test you, they don't know you." She says, "How did you get saved?" And she said, "I don't know how to tell her how you know it. I'm hardly going to help her." "Then you were saved." They're like that in their version of songs. They're just going to their own dress and ask that type of thing. And they just believe in the Lord. So that's how you get. So there, and the thought comes in, boy, you have let us stay there in for the white seat is going to be out. And he was opening up the door, and Jean opened it, she came down the hall, she said, is that you, Jim? He said, it is. He said, are you a Christian? He said, I don't know what I'm, but I've got my board to look. He said, well, you're not getting in. He said, I just didn't get sent, but look at the door.
She kept him at the door at 5 o'clock in the morning, creeping through the night. He said, Jean, the neighbors are looking at him, they got a whole shoe. He says, open the door and let us in my closet. And after all of this meeting, at 5 o'clock in the morning, she opened the door and let him in. And never went to bed the rest of the night. And something happened to him. And didn't care again. And peace in my heart. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Every child of God. Our witness. They want to live in. Dead Jim, I don't want to. He said, but only no one verse. He said, a letter as a wee girl or Sunday school. He said, Jane, that's all you need to know is one verse. He said, what is it? I never heard anybody get saved in this verse. He said, it's that verse, this is my beloved son, and who I have loved. He said, what does that mean? You need to ask for a bit of theology in a fellow 6 months' state. He says, Jean, it just means that God is so pleased with his son that he says, if you're pleased with him, you see? He says, well, I don't want anybody else for my Savior. He received Christ. Well, then, how do you present the fellowship? And in their home, up in our district, there's a children's meeting 2 afternoons in group. Such a test. And God is honoring them. Why? Because one day they honor God better than that. Oh, dear Christian in this meeting, then God will honor you. If you honor. You know, I was thinking, I want to speak about Moses and everything. This is the trouble with these meetings, you know. Get involved and then pass away. But I thought of all the characters in the Bible, Moses seems a shame for me. And Churchill said about Moses, he said, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, Moses was the greatest leader that ever lived. A man who could lead a rebellious people for 40 years in a barren desert. And when he died, there was then some mourning for him. And God had hid his body. He was born of a child of sleep. He was born of sleep. Born of sleep. And you know, his mother took him and was talking the other night over in one of the halls about a mother's love. And you know, there's something wonderful about a mother's love. Even the might of the Egyptian army and the command of the great Pharaoh that couldn't deter a mother's love. This mother, she was willing to defy the Pharaoh of Egypt, and she wasn't going to give her child to him to be slain and thrown into the Nile. What to do? She hid him in the cupboard for 3 months. Mother, you ever think that put your child in the cupboard for 3 months? And every time the soldiers were walking past the door, they tied him up on the crag of the tent. Who was an angel? An angel took him and she put him in the ark of bulrushes. Now I used to think that she hid him in the ark of bulrushes. That was the way I learned the story of the child. She didn't hide him in the ark of bulrushes. It said when she could no longer hide him, she put him in the ark of bulrushes. Where did she put him? She put him down at the river brink. She put him in the very place of judgment. She put him in a place of death where others had died. Now she picked a spot. Out of all those hundreds of miles of the Nile, she selected the spot
her third daughter came down to me. For you see, she knew that this child could win the heart of any woman. When you come to Acts chapter 7, you get the key to the whole story, and Stephen's death. Stephen said about him that he was fair to look upon. He was a beautiful child. And her daughter, when she saw this child, she could restrain herself no longer, and she got him from the ark of Buddha. And she adopted Moses. Have you that little picture of you and me? We were in the graveyard of earth. We were under the judgment of God. We were condemned on it. And as the only salvation for Moses lay in the hands of the woman who come from the palace of the king, surely the only salvation for you and me lay in the hands of the one who come from the palace and the man's mansion, from the power of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ and all, I'm sure as Moses was too, and Miriam as they watched that girl's daughter coming down to the river brink, they counted and they listened for a footstep. Oh, maybe for a minute just listen for the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. In Isaiah 52, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring a good thing. Beautiful feet. You know, when the British army was besieged in one of those Indian towns, and the French men had surrounded that Indian town and they cut them off, and they were running out of food supplies, and medical supplies were completely exhausted, and soldiers were dying. And there was a soldier lying on the ground, and we knew they dared not surrender, for no quarter would be given. They were going to fight for the last man. And these tribes, they were waiting, and they were going to storm them up. And the soldier lying on the ground, with his ear to the ground, and all the sickness. And he thought he heard the trumpet. And he called his comrades, and they put their ear to the ground and they listened. Sure, they heard a trump of feet on the ground. And then they heard the twirl of the pipes. And that famous cry rose, the Campbells are coming! And that great Scotch regiment marched in to save that guy. Oh, what a pleasant sound. Oh, to the message. Jesus switched that in the river light. Listen to the trump of his feet and the glory in chapter 6. And Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up in his pale throne. He said, I saw the seraphims fly around his throne, and they covered their faces and they covered their feet, and they cried, glory, glory. The trump of his feet. And then turn to chapter 9. And you'll hear the trump of his feet at Bethlehem. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is born. Here he's. And then we'll go to chapter 42, and the Lord said, behold my servant, in whom my soul abideth. And we hear the trump of his feet on the shore of the earth. Oh, to the place of spruce down tonight. And no matter where you follow the Lord Jesus, my, what blessing he brings with him. Coming down the road, and I see a man standing with a rose in his hand. And I say to him, aren't you Bartimaeus? And always looking at a rose with wonder. He's smelt its fragrance for years. But here's the first time he's ever seen a rose. And I say to him, aren't you Bartimaeus? What's happened to you? Oh, he said, did you not hear? I met Jesus. I'm going to fall down. And here's a man standing with an old pile of filthy, stinking bandages lying at his feet. I must say to him, aren't you the leper? Oh, yes, I remember. Did you not hear? I met Jesus. Oh, come along with a look, you know. And here's a woman coming up the road, and she's an orange in her book. And she's laughing. And her heart bubbling over with joy as she kisses her boy. And I say to her, would you not go into the cemetery? I was. She says the funeral parties was coming out of the city of Nain.
As he said to the Lord Jesus, out of the Savior we're coming in, and the mat in the heap. And there wasn't room.
Said Jesus, couldn't give way to death. So he touched the crown and he gave him the crown. Oh, what blessing he brings for that. Oh, there's another home that I can take you to. That the Lord Jesus, the man on the shadow road, and his wife died and left him with a little family.
You know, he was all with a drink and he was feeling
drunker.
When his boy and girl had been old enough to left the home, one joined the army and the other in the navy, and the girl had married and he found himself left all alone.
There was time for that.
All he had in his home was a table and a chair and a bed, and that was all the furniture he had. He had sold everything else for nothing, and he was absolutely miserable.
And his sense, he was saying, there's nothing left on me. Then one of them was. He got 12 pennies and he put them in a little gas meter. And he was going into a little story or his kitchen till the gas was on him. And he was going to put his head into the gas oven. And he said it across the kitchen floor. He said a verse of a hymn come from the night. I don't know where I am now. It doesn't work so.
He breaks the power of casual sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make a foul free. His blood of beautiful.
So she ran to the king on that kitchen floor and cried,
Lord, could you save it through the God? So God saved them.
You know, because of a sin of light and the way of lightning, he was paralyzed for the dead days. When we used to go to his little home, just the place had gone before. And we used to get an army from a tie right over the road into the meeting. And we put him into the back seat in the morning today. And we used to sit in the morning meeting and just see the gear running down the street. And the brother said to Shuri, he said, Shuri, you'd like to remember me more. I said, I'd love to remember me more. He says, but I'm not baptized. He said, well, Shuri, we've been talking about it. And I think because of your infirmity, that it would be all right for you to remember the Lord and bless him and baptize. Well, Shuri said, that I know harm to you. And he said, I never gave those holy elements as a disobedient change. That's how it happened. So they had a meeting, and what they were going to do, something happened to Shuri when he was getting off. And they sent for the late Dr. Matthews, and he came over, and he said, if you go and examine Shuri and tell us that it's all right. And they ran over this little room, about 30 of us, and we're down on our knees, and we're praying and asking God to tell us what to do. You don't need that, but it's all right. And Dr. Matthews came over and he dropped the door, said, right down and get up. He said, well, doctor, what do I do? He says, I'm not telling you what to do. He said, I want to go to the rescue. Then the army.
Very well.
And I took Huey down to another hall where there was a tank right in the middle of the floor. And two of the brothers went down into the tank, and two other brothers left Shuri down and the baptized him. And you know Shuri got up from that tank and the beam of heaven all over his face.
Shuri sat down and remembered the Lord for many, many long days. Then the Father knew. And I'll say that's my servant. I'll say that to you. Father is sleeping yet. On the chapter 23, we hear the trump speak of the young. We hear the lamb. And I'll carry on with those that have been in the and for 40 years, the captain in the palace is calling the son. And then Moses made his trump.
Moses made his choice whether he was going to honor God or whether he was going to display the things of God. You know what helped Moses to make his choice? He said he had a stack on the back of his off of the water. And dear Christian, when you're thinking of living your life for yourself, I want you to think of the reward. And you're thinking of living your life for God, I want you to get your sights on the crown and all. On the crown. Oh, and God wants the crown. Salvation is not the crown. Salvation is a gift. God gives you, he'll never take it from you. But God wants to crown you. There's five lovely crowns that God wants to give you. You win. Win for that you may cast with the master. You may crown him. Lord. God took Moses away in the wilderness for 40 years of peace. You see, how much for God can you realize now? For that which is in the flesh and is people. And then God took him into the wilderness for 4 years to teach him that God is everything. And the Moses was traveling through the wilderness journey. And the people were thirsty. They were crying for water. God came to Moses. See, Moses was honoring God. And you know God said? God said to Moses, Moses, I'm going to do something. No one else has ever come. It says about Moses that he knew the Lord face to face. And Moses was so anxious and so intimate with God that he asked God to receive him. You know how God showed his name of parts of God. He said to Moses, I'm going to do something for you that no one else has ever come. I'm going to give you the power that only deity has. He said to Moses, speak to the rock, just speak. The water came out. Moses came to the rock. No, he went in back. He couldn't raise the rock. He really did. Smoked the rock on that. The children of Israel drank the water from the crushing lady, shared it up, and tried to get him out. And Moses came to the cross to be there. Remember how high a draw or station God has given you. You cannot call God's people. Moses becomes brothers. The whole impression of your life of the end of the land is lost. The Lord said to Moses, come up into the mountain. Back. You see, the first, the Bible says, be ye not the horses of the mule, whose mouth comes to hell in a bit and bridle. The first 40 years of Moses' life was like the horse was all round to go. If you ever drive a horse, you have to hold it and keep it back. Remember when I went to sell bread, of course, I had a horse in the tank. And you got the last call, the last house, the horse you don't know. Even the next stop was home. When you closed the back doors of the barn, you weren't running on the step like the quick as a way to finish. All was rare to go and the horse. That was Moses. And God had to bring him into the wilderness. And there he was like a mule in the end of 40 years. God said to them, the Pharaoh was a horse in the end.
And God had to train him down. You don't train a mule, you have to train a mule.
You have to hold a mule back every day. God is a day Moses and his fellow. But at the end of the 40 years in the wilderness, leading the children of Israel, what do you like? My really in the true character of a child of God. He like a sheep. The Lord says, come up into the mountain, and Moses followed the Lord up into the mountain. You know, God showed Moses something that has never happened.
God gave Moses a vision of the land, and he showed him the 12 tribes in the land, and there's two has never yet crossed Jordan.
But Moses saw them all. God gave him a glimpse of the land of God. And the Lord took him home. What a funeral of God it is. To the poem we learned in history. perhaps of all those eagle gray death poor states, out of a lonely area he is drawn that wondrous sight. Perhaps the land stalking still shuns that hollow spot where beast and bird have seen and heard that rich man would have. No man knew but old. But how did God know? Well, it comes to the greatest event in eternity. The greatest event in the history of this earth. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Moses appears with Elijah on the mount, the holy mount. What is doing? Talking. And we come to the eternal state, what they're going to sing. They're going to sing the song of Moses. And the song of the Lamb. The song of Moses. That's the song for the deed. The song of the Lamb is the song of the deed. We understand that trust and able to take that blessing. And that God will write it on your heart. If someday you're thinking of doing something that's contrary to His will, remember these words. Then that honor you. Lord, our Father, we thank you tonight for such reverent attention in this meeting. Lord, we thank you for thy word. O God, how often it has kept us from denying me and directed our paths, kept our people straight. Lord, we pray that this verse thou hast put in thy infallible book, and O God, might be a message for every part of me. And Lord, as we engage in our daily business, in the office, in the workshop, in the visits, Lord, we might remember thee for it. And O God, this city might be turned upside down through the believers on it. Lord, you claim that promise, and we know that thou art faithful. There we honor you. Now we pray that you separate those things for our own sake, working in the Lord Jesus.
And we sing like 2 verses of the number 443, 443.
Dear that I die in love, thou givest me.